Saturday, the 17th of March, 1984. I got up early and went to the club for the first time as manager. I had a word with old Cleo's staff to see if any wanted to work for me. I had a lady called Wendy and a doorman called Alan Millwood. The DJ John Pountain had worked at Cleo's on London Road and was well known in Derby. The company Sigma Sound Enterprises of Nottingham was still working on the lights that day, but the sound system was operational. It was a 3KW studio master and 4 FRO cabinets suspended from the ceiling joists above the dance floor. My bar manager Wendy told me that I needed some change for the bar. Problem, all the banks were closed, so I had to go round town in the afternoon buying things for 10 and 20 pound notes. I remember buying about 15 Derby Telegraph newspapers that day. My sister Isabel agreed to help with the bar because I had not a clue about bars. On the Saturday evening, things were getting tense. The lighting people had not finished the job, only 2 lights were operational. But the club looked nice with its new carpet and seated area, everything looked new. Tempers were getting frayed as there was only an hour to go and there was a huge crowd outside the club. The lighting company walked out, leaving us with no power and no lights. My friend Clive strapped out the phase that was not working in the old 1930s fuse box outside the gents' box. After a massive bang and sparks everywhere, we had power and were set to open. I said that the first thing that the customers coming in should hear was Radio Caroline's Loving Awareness, which I think was made from a Beatles record. Then The Who and Barbara O'Reilly at full volume, 3000 watts. New customers ran into the place greeting Alan Millwood like he was an old friend. They could tell that this was going to be new era in Derby because I had got one thing right: the sound was shit hot. Within about half an hour, we had hit the capacity figure of 300, yet the place looked empty. It's at this point where I played roulette with public safety for the first time. We let a further 500 in, then turned the rest away. The place was rammed. It was my first night in charge and I had already broken 2 rules: 1, oversubscribing the venue, and 2, letting non-members in. During that night we had 2 power failures. We ran out of change and ended up giving most of the beer away. The sound went off 3 times. Amps were overheating and shutting down due to thermal protection. The makeshift staff worked well, but I knew I had to advertise properly and make a team. It was an amazing night, the first of many. Being a biker-type place made it different to anything in the area. I intended that it would be a club for the customers, a place they could call their own. After the night was over, I got a feeling of power and responsibility. I was to maintain this good feeling for nearly 20 years. At the end of the night, all the money was put in a red bucket, which I took home in my car. I left it at the side of my bed in my pokey little house on Brackens Lane, Alverston. On Sunday, the 18th of March 1984, I got up and for the first time had that knackered feeling that would be ever present for many years. It took ages to get up and get the day started. I went to the club to clean up the mess. I had no cleaners. It took ages to clear up the sick and mop the toilets out. Oh my god, have I created a shit job for me? I can't do this, I hate it. I must get some cleaners. My friend Richard went out with Della. She was well fit. She said she would do the cleaning for me. That afternoon I took the red bucket round to my friend's lodge to count the money. We had to sort out all the change and notes because it was mixed up. We laid the money out in £100 piles. His floor was awash with cash, 3,800 quid in all. I had been on the dole for 2 years and had a repossession order on my house, so it was amazing to see such a great wad of cash. I was able to start paying off my debt to those who had helped me set up the club.